Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for getting up to come to this early morning session. My name's Julie Taylor, and I am from the University of Dundee, which is in Scotland. It's about 100 miles north of Edinburgh, which you've probably heard of, and it's not far from St Andrews, which is fairly famous for golf. And I'm currently on secondment to the NSPCC, which is the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, which in the UK is the largest NGO working specifically with child protection.
Is that like a sabbatical?
Yes, I suppose it's like a sabbatical, yeah. What I want to talk to you about this morning is some work that we're trying to do with NSPCC that is about using a quality assurance methodology that's been used around a lot in other places, but trying to apply it within child protection, which is a much more complex and tricky kind of world, and see if those tools that have worked to affect, particularly around patient safety agendas, can be used in child protection in more complex systems. So just some of the things that we are sure about. This is Alexander Pope, around the 18th century. He said, one of the things that we can absolutely be sure about is that if we're human, we'll get it wrong quite a lot of the time. But we also know that when things go wrong, errors, they're usually multifactorial. It's not just usually one thing that happens. It's usually a number of things that cascade. But when things go wrong, we tend to want to blame somebody. And especially in child protection, when something goes wrong, you'll see in the newspapers and so on, it's often the social worker who gets the blame, or the system is at fault, and usually somebody is hung out to dry. And sometimes that blame is wrongly placed, but once it's been wrongly placed, it's very hard to get rid of it. So failure modes and effects analysis, and because it's quite long, I hope you don't mind if I shorten that to FMEA for the rest of the presentation. But failure mode and effects analysis is a tool that's used to assess where there's high-risk processes that are going on that are very complex to improve their safety. And it was really developed by NASA, and it was taken forward by Toyota, engineering giants and so on. It's been used hugely in aerospace, nuclear power, and big accident investigators use this particular tool. So air crashes, train crashes, all of these kinds of things. They use FMEA. And in the last 10 years or so, it's been used increasingly in healthcare, particularly around patient safety. And some of the examples that we've used and that part of my team have been using this really effectively in drug medication errors, particularly chemotherapy, you know, where you give the wrong dose to somebody, it's likely to have a fatal outcome. This is a Gruyere, I think. That's a cheese. Right? James Reason did a whole series of theorizing about these kinds of things and saying, well, it's a bit like a Swiss cheese. If something goes wrong, generally speaking, you can't see through a cheese. And if you put a whole bunch of cheeses together, you trying to align those holes would be almost impossible. When accidents happen or when something goes wrong, what quite happens is that your cheese tends to line up completely by chance, but all these different hazards that happen within your cheese line up, and you end up with something catastrophic at the end. And I quite like that model as a way of thinking about it, because each of those holes or errors in and of themselves wouldn't necessarily lead to disaster. But in big accidents or in child protection, some of these things align, and that's where we end up with what's very often some kind of terminal event that's quite catastrophic. FMEA is also very much based on a human's factors and systems approach, and you're probably all very familiar with this, but again, it's down to this lots of things lining up, but it says it's not just about one thing. Everything's aligned, and if something goes wrong in the system, so if we look at drug medication errors, for example, if the pharmacist can't read the doctor's writing, or if somebody in the pharmacy puts the wrong dilution in, or if the nurse then administers it incorrectly. There's all sorts of things that can go along. It's not just one thing. that can go wrong. And even when we put into place systems that can help us, they can go wrong as well. We've just introduced in the UK a way of recording, when you go to the GP surgery, of recording the drugs that you might want and the dosage you might get. And very, very recently, a friend of mine, just last week, went to pick up a prescription from the pharmacy that her doctor had given for her mother, which was for quite a strong opiate. And the pharmacist noticed that the dose was about 100 times too strong. Now, this had automatically been done with this fantastic, swanky new electronic system that we've got that the doctor hadn't noticed, but it had automatically just transposed it. Now, if that pharmacist hadn't been particularly vigilant, somebody could be dead. And these things happen all the time. So along the way, it isn't always just humans, but machines and everything that can happen. So how do you do an FMEA? Well, it's a multidisciplinary team effort, and it's about getting different people and their different viewpoints together, and it's supposed to give you a more comprehensive and penetrating analysis. And over a series of meetings with those different groups, you map the process, you identify the different failure modes, the potential errors that could go wrong, you score them, and then you identify possible causes for those high-level ones and try and generate what they call corrective actions, which sounds a little bit punitive, but maybe not. So when we've been doing this with... We did an FMEA study in Swaziland where we were looking at delivery of drugs to a particular hospital. And the different failure modes that can happen along there, we came up with around 119. And the biggest one was to do with the drivers taking the stores from where they had been delivered to the outstations, and usually from bribery and corruption were selling off the drugs along the way. So these were being replaced by things that the patients never actually got to see. Well, were like polo mints they were getting at the end. So there's three key features to FMEA. The first is it has to be proactive. It's a prospective tool. It's not about, once things have occurred, looking backwards at what went wrong. It's about trying to identify them in advance. It's also a systems approach. So it's acknowledging that errors are a result of failings in very complex systems and processes, and it's not just the fault of one person or one individual along the way. And it's a team-based approach. So can we use it in child protection? This was something that we were really interested in trying to find out. Some good reasons for it. Good to be able to do something that improves the quality of what we get wrong. In the UK, which is a smaller population, obviously, in the US, but we have around 60 children a week, 60 children a year die as a result, as a direct result of abuse or neglect at the hands of their caregivers. And huge amounts more than that who are abused or neglected and don't die. It's a very complex system. It means lots of decisions are made that really take into account people's lives, but it's very, very complex. And often they don't come to the attention of those protective agencies who could do something about it. There's all sorts of potential for things to go wrong, adverse events and errors. But unlike things like drug medication, where at least you could track the path of what might happen, child protection isn't as easily mapped. And I suppose one of the reasons that we still haven't got it right in developed countries is that it is so complex. Now, in the UK, our policy context is that we know we haven't got it right yet, and it's just very, very messy. Professor Eileen Munro was, in the last couple of years, was commissioned to really have a look at the child protection system in England, and her conclusions were these, really, that every time a child dies or there's a near miss in the UK, we undertake something called a serious case review, an SCR, serious case review, and it's about the learning from this. So just this morning, there's been a publication that says over the last year there are 50 cases in one particular county in the south of England that says 50 cases in child protection over the last year could have been prevented if we'd done something about it. We produce these serious case reviews very, very regularly, and they all say more or less the same thing, and we don't take any notice, or at least we take notice, but nothing changes, and the next one says the same thing. What we don't do is have a really good system where we learn together. So we'll have social services having their learning, we'll have health doing something else, the police will be doing something else, and bringing it together to learn from that, we're not terribly good at it. We keep saying we're not very good at it, but we're still not very good at it. We want to explain why professionals act in the way they do a lot better. Munro also said that we need to have confidence to find new ways of working. And we need to get frontline workers, team managers involved from the very start. Our system in the UK has become particularly bureaucratic, and it's very under-resourced as well. So people spend an awful lot of time filling in forms and trying to do things within a particular timescale instead of being out there and seeing the system. So we wanted to test out FMEA in child protection, and particularly the kinds of cases that people really struggle with every day when they're working in this environment. And we were employed by a particular city in the UK, in the middle of the UK, that is really struggling with its child protection record. It keeps failing its different inspections and so on, and they really wanted some help. So they were really up for this. Will FMEA help us? It might not, but it's something to try. So, as I said, it's multidisciplinary. It's about what's the topic that we want. It's about complex professional pathways. And because of our Munro review, we are also undertaking another model that's very similar to FMEA, but it is about looking backwards at errors rather than forwards, and that's called the SKY model. The question that they really wanted help with was, what's the process for recognising a child in the UK, in this particular city, who is exposed to domestic abuse? Now in the UK, living with domestic abuse is not necessarily seen as a child protection issue, but it comes up every single time. It's one of the things that is very much there, and I think it was brought out quite well in that as being something that's really important in that first presentation. It's certainly something that we really struggle with. I know that in some states in the US, it is seen automatically as a child protection issue. It isn't in the UK, although we are increasingly recognising it. But we know that around a third of children who come to the attention of child protection services have domestic abuse going on in their families as well. So this is the kind of process that we did. We went through... one of the things about FMEA is it really needs a strong project management approach. And trying to get all of the local Safeguarding Children's Board together at one time, when they all come from busy day jobs as GPs, as social workers, as wherever they are, is almost impossible. And who should be part of that multidisciplinary team? In child protection, there are some key people, but there are also some people who are probably really important, but we don't necessarily count them in the multidisciplinary team. So one of the things that we know, if we look backwards in child protection, one of the things that's very characteristic is frequent house moves, eviction from their housing. But we don't very often include housing officials within our multidisciplinary team. So that kind of thing is really quite important. Who are the town planners in here? What are the environmental agencies? So even just trying to decide who should be part of that multidisciplinary team takes an enormous amount of energy. Now, you can't read this, and I don't want you to read this, but it's just to give you an example of the first meeting with saying, right, if we're just trying to think about an FMEA in this particular city, how many different kinds of failure modes are there? What could go wrong? And just at the first meeting, this is what we came up with. I say you don't need to read it, but it's a huge amount of things that could potentially go wrong. Once you've decided all the things that could go wrong, then how it works with an FMEA is that we then try and think about, of all the things that could go wrong, what are they? And so this is just an example of the kinds of things, if a child is living with domestic abuse, that the team identified that could particularly, potentially go wrong. Now, the next thing about FMEA, and it's one of the things FMEA is criticised for, is that you then assign a score to it. So in any kind of risk register, you might often have a score that is about likelihood and about severity. And then you do some kind of complex multiplication and you come up with a nice little system. But it's very subjective. And it's very difficult to make any judgments on that. You might agree that that's the score, but you know you can't. It's just a score that's useful but not replicable necessarily. We decided not to go with a number system, but we did a sort of traffic light system with an extra 4 system. So red was almost certainly this was going to end up in some kind of horrible mess. Child was likely to die. Green was, well, it's not so bad, highly unlikely, and won't be that severe if it does happen. And then in between. So trying to map all of these as we go. Now, we've just about finished this, and what we've got is a very complex and messy-looking diagram. But what we do have is things that, within this particular city, are quite clearly things that they haven't thought about before and that we need to do something about. And I think that that's a really useful thing that we've done. Would we recommend using FMEA within child protection? Because that was what we tried it out for. I think the jury's out, to be honest. I'd like to say yes, it was useful, but it was quite a nightmare to do it. Because you can imagine the amount of people that you might need to involve and the kinds of decisions that there might be to work through in the examples. So logistically, it's quite a challenge. It's very painstaking. It's very involved. But it was quite useful because it did uncover a number of unrecognized specific system-level problems that we could actually do something about. And that's always helpful. Probably the thing that it was most useful for was as a team-building exercise. And that wasn't what it was envisaged as, but it really did boost confidence and morale amongst this team that are working in a particularly horrible area, in a particularly failing area, and they often get blamed for it. So it was helpful for that. It's really helpful to know that the facilitator really needs to be extremely skilled, and we have somebody who was extremely skilled at this. But you need to bear in mind that any numbers you generate from an FMEA are fairly arbitrary. I think using a colour-coded risk system was a good thing, but we should see FMEA as part of a triangulation, that you can't just use it on its own and think this is going to solve it. It might solve some particular air crash problems. It won't solve the child protection system. So it needs to be brought together with other things. And it's about, really, we need to disentangle a sort of socio-technical situation. And child protection is that. And if you start to dismantle it, then sometimes that's really helpful. So thank you for listening.
Would you take one or two questions for each of them? I have to ask, is there a way to simplify FMEA?
No. I'd like to say yes. We've tried this in many different, we've used it in a number of patient safety places, and FMEA has been used often. And there's even a thing called healthcare FMEA now, if you can find this on Google. And there's some very, very clear steps. There's papers written about those steps, and it is extremely clear what you need to do. But when you do it, it's very complex.
It's almost so, like a massive brainstorming exercise, because that puts you end up with is the slate of your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
I appreciate what you said about the socio-technical nature of it, and what I love is once you do it in a system, you tend to get people thinking like a system instead of avoiding individual level blame.
Yeah.
And so I think even if you undertake it in a larger accounting system or state system once or twice, then you get a shift in cultural thinking about the nature of problems.
That's a really
complex. It works at Toyota, it's a great example.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to add that to that bullet point. That's a really good point. Thank you.
Can
we
question?
Yeah, I have two unrelated questions. One is about cost, because it looks like something that would be not just time consuming and challenging, but expensive. It's kind of the feasibility issues of that. And the other is, which we were just talking about, is the application of systems dynamics into the analysis. It seems more like a kind of process qualitative overview of outcomes, and wondering if systems dynamics is part of your thinking or part of the model and other.
Okay. Good questions. Cost is not as much as you think. The cost was we needed a really good project manager and a really good coordinator for this. But the local children's safeguarding boards in England meet in each area, have to meet anyway. Getting them together at the same time with a commitment to undertake this is huge, and that's why you need a good facilitator. But they have to do that anyway, so it wasn't an extra cost for it. As commissioner for this, we paid for a couple of researchers to do a thorough evaluation of this. But it isn't as huge as some of the other things that might go on. In terms of dynamics, yes, I think that that's a really important part of it, and part of what we're doing here is comparing this model with the government model, the SKY model that I mentioned, and the dynamics will be part of the analysis of the two together, and I didn't present that here, but it is there, and you'll see it in press at some point. Okay.
Julie, thank you.
Thank you very much.